I just noticed that the distillery name is on the label. So I'll look that up. Again, I think it's like a ghost brand. Because this is only made at Whole... or sold at Whole Foods anyway.
Interesting. Yeah, like they just have a... yeah, like a private label or whatever for some other random...
Or it's like Chase Elliott's, like, fucking chicken tender company that's, like, just...
Wait, that's not real? He doesn't... He's well, not the wing king of the Southeast?
It's out of, like, Chili's or some shit.
It's from fucking Hooters.
Ghost Kitchen.
Well, yeah, certainly. I mean, it was our fault. We made mistakes. Spider said it was clear. I wasn't clear, and, you know, I didn't want to tear my car up, tear his car up either. I respect everybody, and I demand respect. And, you know, I apologized to the guy when he came over the car, explained to him what happened, and then he took it to another level when he started calling me an idiot and whatever else, and I don't appreciate that. I'm not going to take it. I told him how I feel. I called him out. He didn't show, you know, and so, you know, I'm good with it if he's good with it, but I'm not going to be disrespected by no means.
Yeah, I guess I had a dinner date at Applebee's last night that I didn't find out until it was too late. It's a shame. Love their riblets and boneless wings, but...
All right, folks. Welcome back to Meet Me at Applebee's. It's your cold and tired motorsports podcast. The season's just about over. We got one big weekend left. Yeah. I am Brian. With me, as always, is Rob and Ashley. And we have another special guest this week. Our buddy Mike. Mike is he's in our fantasy league, and he's also got some experience in the motorsports world, and he hung out with Ashley this past weekend in Martinsville, and he's going to be with us the whole episode.
That's
so
right.
Welcome to the show, Mike.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this man kissed the bricks at Indianapolis. That's
I did.
Real.
I did.
The only person more stoked than you is me, so that was such a cool deal. I do want to talk about that real quick, because that was fucking awesome. I don't know if you're still doing the IMSA or the sports car racing thing too much anymore, but you mind talking about that win at Indy that you guys had and like what
sure.
that was all about?
Yeah, so to answer your first question, we're not fielding cars competitively in IMSA currently, but we have, and I'll spare the details, we have the contracts to supply the parts for the Volkswagen, Audi, and Seat cars that are racing in North America, Central America, South America. So still plugged in, still at the track. For every IMSA weekend,
but you're not going over the wall every weekend.
Like, no, not you know, no action anymore in that way. Unfortunately, so we'll see what the future holds. But we have our deal now is pretty good. It gets us at the track, but it makes the days a little easier as far as not having to scramble or do any of that nonsense. But we do miss the racing, that's for sure.
That was it was New German, right?
Yes, yeah, New German Performance.
Oh yeah, and then you guys. What series was that again? I know it wasn't the Michelin Pilot Challenge, right?
The Indy win was with SRO in the TCR or TC America. I don't remember what. I think they've changed the class names a couple of times, but that was with SRO companion weekend with IndyCar, which was cool. Getting to see those cars in person for the first time was pretty neat. But yeah, that race was fun. It was. Kind of a surreal experience anyway. I mean, just to be in Indianapolis and then the day before just to go through the museum and take the Bob Jenkins tour, which was super cool, and to just kind of take in the fact that you were in this like big just block of history for motorsports. And then as far as the racing is concerned, we got kind of into practice and the car was doing good. It kind of, you know, we were sporty as far as times were concerned, and then the race just kind of, it's like a cliche thing to say, but the race just kind of came our way. You know, there were some things that had kind of boiled over from prior races that had taken out other competitors in the class, and you just kind of keep your head on your shoulders and make the right moves at the right time, and we were able to capitalize. It was a good time.
Hell yeah.
First time I was screaming and crying at a racetrack at the same time. It was a very surreal feeling to be like that.
I was standing in my mother-in-law's basement on my phone watching it.
Hell yeah.
And, also yelling because I was stoked for you. But that's so fucking cool. Definitely the first Indianapolis winner we've had on the show.
Ooh.
Probably the first
probably
winner
the
we've had, period. Probably the last.
Damn.
But yeah, it's awesome to have you on here. We've all known you for a little while through just talking shit about racing, and it's cool to have you on the show. And yeah, you and True Love went to Martinsville.
Yeah. I think I would say Martinsville went to us. I think it's probably the better way. Saturday was aggressive. It's kind of, we took the end of that Xfinity race and just carried it into the campgrounds until, I don't know.
Tuesday or Wednesday.
Pretty much, yeah. It's what it felt like anyway. I feel like I'm still there physically. It's been a foggy few days back in the real world.
I left a part of my body at Loudon this year, so I completely understand. But
worth it. I'd gladly sign up to do it again this weekend. That was that weekend. This past weekend was awesome.
Yeah.
Well, this was your first trip to Martinsville, correct?
Yes, first time.
Yeah.
Nice.
And you got here on Thursday, right?
Yeah, we got in Thursday afternoon. You guys in the chats have heard this. I haven't seen a tour modified race in, I don't know, since 2000 or 2001. It's been a long time.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And the buddy that was with me he's never seen the modifieds in person. He'd never seen a short track race. He obviously never been to Martinsville. So we were just kind of crossing off all of the big things in one blow. So yeah, Thursday was awesome. Ryan Preece is really good at race cars, open wheel race cars specifically. I
guess it helps when you set it up in a cup shop like he did.
Oh yeah,
brand new fucking LFR chassis.
his pit crew in true fashion was hot garbage though, so he had to work for it a couple of times. But
he did. He brought the B squad from SHR with him. I guess it's probably his Sunday guys, and then he had to dig himself out of a hole at least once. That's for sure.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, they posted a video of them trying to figure out modified pit stops on their social media, and it was a little bit of a shit show.
Well, the problem was none of them were wearing jeans, you know?
Yeah, you gotta have a crusty t-shirt and, like, some ripped denim on to be effective at all in a modified pit situation.
These men are not athletes. They're landscapers and fucking, you know.
And I had totally forgotten that the modified pit rules, like you get to do one thing at a time and you have to come back and come back and come back. That totally, I've totally forgotten that's which is great. I mean, it levels the playing field, I guess, you know, budget wise, but a very weird way to go about strategy for those races.
Yeah, it's a little hard to keep track of especially if you're not familiar with it, but yeah, that race from home was really fun to watch. I was really jealous of you getting to see that in person, because, again, any modified race is a good one. But do you guys watch that at all, Brian, True Love?
Nah, I didn't see any of it.
I was on a Greyhound.
Oh, that's right. You were on a Greyhound. Yeah, how was your trip up from Georgia's?
not ideal, because I missed my transfer bus, and I had to sit. I missed my transfer bus by about 2 minutes. I had to sit in the Charlotte Greyhound for 4 hours to wait for the next one because my first bus driver decided that he wanted a 45-minute McDonald's break for breakfast.
Nice. What'd you get at McDonald's? You McMuffin gal?
Like, I got a couple things off the dollar menu.
There you go.
I had to save money for hot dogs.
For sitting around at the bus station for 4 hours.
Yeah,
quite the opposite experience of your last trip up to the racetrack, because that lady tried to kill you, right?
She tried to kill me with her road rage, and this man tried to kill me with his slowness.
Yeah, it was more of an internal spiritual death than a physical violent death. Brian, what'd you do this weekend?
I watched racing and just hung out, basically. Nice. I had the most boring weekend out of everybody, I would say. No racing to watch here, at least live, so just all on the TV.
Yeah, so when did you got in Thursday night, right, True Love?
Yep.
You were at Martinsville on Thursday night. Yeah. You got to North Carolina Thursday night, though, right after the modified race?
So
you had to get a tuck into bed early for your big day on Friday.
I absolutely did. So I stayed with my friend Jeremy again, crashed on his couch, and he works at Colleg. So Friday was the big RCR Colleg fan day. So he had to work that. So I was like, well, I guess I'll just go hang out there all day and see what I can see. So I spent all day in that parking lot.
What'd you saw? Did you meet Ty Dillon?
I did not see Ty Dillon the entire day.
Did you buy some press-on nails from Muriel or whatever she was selling, essential oils?
I was too scared to go up to their booth because it looked very fancy and very girly.
they probably would have given you so much product. They would have been so excited. They're probably one of the only women at the whole fucking thing. So
just to see another woman would have been nice for them, I'm sure.
Well, I did run into Whitney in a random parking lot with her child. And I said, you know, hello, how are you? And she was very sweet. But she was with her child, so I didn't want to bother too much.
Ace? Is that the kid's name?
Ace, yes. Mm. Yeah, looks just like a Dylan.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there were a shit ton of people there. Like, a bunch of insane people showed up at, you know, 5 in the morning to get Kevin Harvick's autograph.
Or... Chocolate Myers did go out there at the hose and... Get out!
Yeah. Yeah, Chocolate was there interviewing people all day. They had, like, live pit stops, the pickleball tournament.
Oh, nice.
I only caught a few minutes of that, but I saw, like, Austin Dillon playing a little bit. He was taking it way too serious.
Nice.
And then Mike Dillon was playing, and that man has turned his life around since the Kevin Harvick roast that we watched. He's in shape. He looked like maybe he could form sentences now.
That's good.
He's a new man.
Not in a diabetic coma or whatever he was in last time we saw him.
Yeah.
Good Lord.
Yeah. But, you know, they had all the shops open, the RCR shop, the college shops. Like, watched Larry Mack interview Harvick for a little while. That was cool. Samantha Bush was there signing autographs for... She had a really long line of people. Like...
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have expected that, but...
Oh, yeah. I walked around the RCR Museum. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the first time I've ever been to, like, a full-blown fan day, and it was cool. There was a bunch of shit set up.
That's cool. Did you get to hear Sheldon Creed talk about how excited he was to go somewhere else next year on stage? Apparently that happened.
I missed him somewhere. I missed his interview. That campus is like huge, so everything is very sprawled out.
It's so big. It's so big. Yeah. That's awesome, though. Did they have alcohol on site? Was that
no?
Something?
They did not. That's the one thing I wanted, and it's the one thing they didn't.
No 3-chi either. You couldn't hit a little.
No.
Delta they 7 had, or 8 or whatever it is.
No, they had a booth set up for Richard Childress wines, but like. You couldn't actually You could just look at it.
Well, from what I've experienced from the Childress Vineyards, that's pretty much the best way to consume it is just by looking at it. Not that good.
No.
Who would have guessed that buying a wine with the Dale Earnhardt 3 on it would suck? But, I don't know. That's fun. But you made it to the truck race, right?
There was not a truck race.
There wasn't a truck race. That's right. No. It's bullshit. I don't know what's going on in the truck series. I'm sorry.
They only have like 3 races a year, I feel like.
Oh, that's right, because I was bitching about how... I understand why they do it, because there's probably no room in the garage area, but I think it's bullshit that they throw the mod race on a Thursday night and then just have Xfinity practice on like a Friday night. Yeah. And that's it.
Yeah, what the hell did you do at the track all day, Mike, on Friday?
So... hot dogs.
That's it.
Yeah, really. No, just like we did all the normal fan stuff. You know, walked around the midway, all that stuff. We ended up paying a whopping $5 to go watch Xfinity practice and qualifying just to go check it out. But yeah, it was just kind of a relaxing.
They charged you to watch Xfinity practice?
Yeah, it's nuts. It was $5 for the whole deal, and then and even if you had a ticket for like for any of the races, it was a la carte for the practice and qualifying.
For the big show.
Yeah, which was, that's stupid, but I mean, it was whatever. It was like $10 for us to go in there and just kind of sit down for a little while and get to see the cars on track and kind of get an idea of what everything was going to kind of look like.
Yeah.
Right.
And again, this is your first time at Martinsville, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. What was your first impression walking in there after all years of seeing it on television?
Yeah. It was awesome. I never realized that pit lane is like 2 feet below the actual racing surface, and then it kind of comes up in the corners, and that track's way more banked in the corners than TV can ever possibly show you. Not that it's a big high bank anything, but it has banking to it that is not picked up on the broadcast, which is crazy to see in person.
Yeah, when I went down on the little like pre-race thing when I went a couple years ago and did the track walk thing, which I don't know if you did that or not. Oh, you had a hot pass for Sunday, so I guess you were probably down there. But
yeah,
you could pay like $20 to go down and stand on pit road and all that and kind of see the banking and walk up there and, you know, kiss the spot where Matt Kenseth KO'd Joey Logano and pay respects to that. And you're right. Like, the banking is, I guess that's pretty true at every NASCAR track. Like, the banking is always somewhat hidden by the nature of just the way it films. But my goodness, like, in person, it's real. Even at Martinsville, you're like, holy shit, it actually, you know, 10 degrees or whatever it is actually means something.
No, absolutely. And that was kind of the weirdest thing to see. But yeah, the fact that there's still so much grass around the track too was surprising. You know, they've kind of changed things a little bit in the corners, but they've done a pretty good job of kind of maintaining the originality or the nostalgic sort of touches at that place that you would normally see just kind of go away with some other tracks or some other, you know, other circuits.
For sure. Yeah. No, I was very taken aback just being there, knowing what it was, and again, it's. Mm-hmm. I was surprised at how much it felt like just being at Loudon.
Yeah, you know, for sure.
Kind of the same build of the grandstands. And probably the same guys welded it, to be honest with you.
No, it definitely has that, like, Friday night, Saturday night short track feel to it, you know, with everything there. I mean, it doesn't seat a lot of people. It's got your normal grandstands, you know, bleacher seats, truly. It's very relatable to the people who will go every once in a while to see the, you know, their local street stocks or their SK mods or whatever in their local track. Very relatable in that way.
So I got to ask before we forget about this and get too far into the show, what was the final count on hot dogs for the two of you?
Yeah, oh, man. So I ended up at 17, which was probably...
Jesus.
That was probably like 10 more... than I needed. My buddy Steve ended up in the mid-30s because he's an absolute psychopath. I hope he listens to this and hears me out him for saying how many hot dogs he had out loud. Now, he was in it to win it. It was once he realized that every hot dog stand, like, the recipe was just a little bit different with the shit that they put on the top of it, that
no consistency.
He was like, oh, I gotta get a bag here, and
bag.
You can, that's nuts. Four hot dogs for what, $7 or six?
Yeah, the
for
more
11.
You buy, you, they take off a couple nuts. Dollars.
Yeah. they're cheaper than
the
just
Costco
the plain
discount.
Hot dogs. Yeah. So it was definitely a carried away situation. We were doing our part to hit that 70,000 hot dog sales that they tout every year, that's for sure.
how many did you contribute to the...
I only put down 7.
Okay.
There was, like, you know, a hangover involved where keeping food down was questionable. And
yeah,
one night some friends that were camping there fed us some chili that they had cooked up, so...
Nice.
Yeah. just 7 for me.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good, guys. Cool. Yeah, the Martinsville hot dog is I don't know if it was much more expensive, if it'd be worth the hype, but...
No, probably not.
I don't know.
Oh, no, definitely not. If it was anything more, I think that was, like, sort of the wow factor is you get this hot dog with all this stuff all over it, and they're $2. Like, yeah. That's just kind of, like, the part of the weird mystique, and definitely makes it easy to kind of get swept up in the... Yeah, the quantity versus quality situation. Oh, yeah.
Give me 10!
2 bags to go now!
A sack!
Yeah.
I mean, hot dogs should never be more than, like, $4 anyways. Like, even... Right. They have to be really, really good to be more than that.
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, typically at a racetrack, they're, like, $7, which is insane. Yeah.
Much more smaller than I thought they would be, too. They were, like, the little... They're basically like the size of like the thick Slim Jim that you get at any gas station, and then shorter than any other hot dog I've ever seen in my life. So I get I mean, that certainly contributes
to... Get you. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's why they're selling bags of 4 and 6, is because it's really like 2.5-ish normal hot dogs.
Yeah, see,
it does come with all the fixings.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm from a part of the country, like my part of upstate New York, those little mini, you know, meat sauce dogs are fucking huge. There's tons of places that sell them, and I grew up on them. So, like, that to me, that's what they resemble.
But it's not a meat sauce, though. It's like a...
It's like a slaw, though, it looks like,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it is,
it's,
yeah.
It's a little bit of both. It's definitely kind of like a weird version of, like, the Manwich or Sloppy Joe mix, and then, like, this... kind of slaw, but it doesn't quite have the mayonnaise in it, so it's not like coleslaw. Yeah, coleslaw,
I'm not
it's
a
very
big fan of the slaw.
Yeah, me either. The ones in the infield were slaw heavy, and that was my least favorite of the weekend.
Yeah,
damn, breaking my heart. I love that shit.
I mean, in baby doses, it's fine, but yeah. In the infield, they were definitely heavy on it.
I also got to ask, were the goodies folks there handing out the little bags of the headache powder when you walked in?
I could have used them on Sunday, that's for sure.
Man, so you paid $5
speaking of things that made no sense on Sunday, so we get up, I don't know, like 9-ish on Sunday morning and start kind of getting around. And I go back in my tent to lay down for, I don't know, like for a half an hour or so. And I think I'm dozing off and I hear this marching band. And at first I think it's part of my dream. Like I'm having a weird dream.
The hot dogs are getting to you. They're in your
bloodstream. Right. And I was like, no, they're playing something over the speaker, like at the track. Cause I mean, you're right there in the campground on top of the track. And then
it's right behind the backstretch, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And so I'm like, all right. So they're just playing it through the speaker or whatever. That's weird. And then I was like, no, wait a minute. I hear people like calling out like marching time and it's getting louder as it gets close to me. So I peek my head out of the tent and there's a damn marching band playing Michael Jackson's Thriller, just walking through the campground. It was the weirdest thing in the world, but it was also the coolest thing in the world to hear them play that song.
It's pretty cool.
Very disarming at another weird layer of the racetrack.
What time of day
was Andy leading?
It was 9 a.m. It was in the morning, like too early on Sunday morning for that to be happening. That's why
a
the whole thing was
band.
Super weird. Yeah. Nuts.
Jesus Christ.
Not hangover conducive.
Definitely not. And that's what was upsetting and sort of mind-boggling as to why they would do that.
So when did you and True Love meet up at the track? Was that Saturday?
Yeah, it was Saturday during the Xfinity race, right?
It was during Cup practice and qualifying.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, before the Xfinity race.
So we both had hot passes, and he was hanging out at Bowman's little area, which was conveniently right next to Chase. So just met up and hung out there. Was that the day that we saw the kid with the diecast?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oof.
Neutral
level diecaster. Oh my god.
So there's this kid standing on the other side of Mike and Steve who had a clear backpack that was full from bottom to top in diecasts that were all individually wrapped in bubble wrap. Oh, and in his hand, on top of that, he had like 4 more that were wrapped in bubble wrap. And he was just standing there at Bowman's pit box waiting for him to finish.
Not that he's working
qualifying
or anything like that, you know, his professional sports job.
Yeah, but Bowman was super nice and he came out, he signed all 4 of those fucking diecasts, and I think he took a picture with the kid too.
Wow.
But the kid was a pro because he had the diecast in his hand wrapped in the bubble wrap, but he just had the area on the windshield cut out so that Bowman could sign it.
That's fucking insane.
Pro level. He's not. Insane. It's not his first rodeo with those, for sure.
Brian, have you ever heard of that shit before? The bubble wrap?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I've seen that. I've definitely seen it at the track. All those guys that I saw in Darlington, they were doing all that shit. Same thing. Dude, when I was the Dale Jr. thing, I saw people, like, signing... Or he pieces of like not even the fucking cars, like sign the box that the car came in, like that type of shit. It was so fucking weird, like the shit that people would get signed. I don't know. Autograph hunters are the worst.
Yeah, I met Carl Edwards once down in the Seaport in Boston, or towards Government Center, not the Seaport. you just happened to be there for some reason, and I didn't have anything to sign. I just wanted to say hi for whatever reason. I fucking don't like Carl Edwards, but it's like, he's a NASCAR driver in Boston. Fuck it. So yeah. I just had him sign a dirty ass Narragansett koozie that was in my back pocket. Not thrilled, but.
So you can just see the layers of filth on it. He's like, God.
It was disgusting. Yeah, he was very happy to get me out of there. But.
Excuse me, Mr. Edwards, can you sign this Crush It Like Carl for me, please?
Yeah. So I had a Larson hat on, and it was like a couple weeks after like they got into it at Dover. Mm. And I walked up and was like, hey, I know I didn't do it to you, but sorry that happened. And he was like, oh, no, it was my fault. And I was just like, oh, you sure about that? And he kind of gave me this look like, get the fuck out of here. You signed my dirty ass koozie, and that was the last time I ever thought about Carl Edwards. But
awesome.
Yeah, no bubble wrap for me or diecast or anything.
Yeah, I just wish I knew where these kids get these never-ending hot passes to get their backpack full of diecast. Yeah.
I can't even get the American Canadian Tour to acknowledge this podcast. I got the quickest rejection email from those fuckers at the beginning of the year. No, you're not getting a press pass. Go fuck yourself.
Well, if you'd asked to go hunt some autographs, yeah, the answer might have been different.
I'm a Make-A-Wish kid who has a collecting habit. Oh, man.
Jesus.
So, you know,
yeah, so that's where we met up. And, you know, it's loud. You're just kind of hanging out.
Yeah.
Then we went our separate ways to go watch the Xfinity race. Now, did you go up in the grandstands and watch, or did you stay
down?
We did,
yeah. So we ended up getting tickets. The walk-up tickets were cheap enough that we got seats, like, way up underneath the, like, far enough up where we knew we would be in the shade the whole time.
Yeah. It was so fucking hot all weekend.
It was so gross.
Was
like,
it really?
I feel bad. Yeah, it was like in the mid-80s for both days. I feel bad about complaining about it, but it was so awful.
Yeah, when you're down there in the pits, it's like even worse too.
Yeah,
I don't doubt that. That's crazy. It was that hot. It was pretty warm up here in New England too, but it wasn't like that. That's for sure.
Yeah, it was damn near unbearable for. Me,
it made camping easier for sure overnight because the overnight temperatures were really nice, but brutal to walk around in.
Yeah.
So I guess we all watched the Xfinity race at least in some way. I caught like the tail end of it on MRN and traffic on the way out of Stafford. Do you guys have any thoughts on that?
I'm going to say Sheldon Creed did nothing wrong, and
Amen.
That's a hill I'm willing to die on.
Amen.
Literally no one is arguing against him.
Okay, good.
Junior, yeah. Denny, everybody, every single person is all like, yeah, he was fine. Like, no reason. You know, people gave him shit for, you know, supposedly brake checking him, but, like, both Denny and Junior were like, it looks like he, like, you know, got into it too hard and he had to, like, you know, slow down in the middle of the corner.
Brake check is the wrong word, but.
Yeah.
He got in too hot and had to brake a little bit. And, you know, if you look, you can see his right front is smoking in the turn. You know, it definitely wasn't like he did that on purpose to have Austin bump into him. Because like everybody said, it's like, that's the last place in Martinsville you want to get bumped is in the middle of the turn.
Yeah,
so there's no way he wanted that to happen. Yeah, I mean, it really sucks. Sheldon didn't pull the win out. I guess, I don't know. I'm bummed that RCR and Austin looked like such bitches coming out of this, you know, because they really did.
And
it
Andy
sucks.
Petrie.
Well, yeah, that's all part of RCR, him too. Yeah. I mean,
Andy at least apologized a little bit.
Yeah, he was on.
Did he mean it though?
Nah, well, that's who knows? But yeah, he was on TV saying that he had apologized. They had found a part that was broken on Sheldon's car, and he had apologized, and you know he was caught up in the moment, and
I mean, I can get the immediate frustration of going from having a car. Not guaranteed to win a championship, but definitely one of the favorites to all of a sudden not at all. Not even close.
But Andy's been in the series for 800 years, though. You'd think he would, you know, like that scenario he's seen a million times. Yeah. I mean, maybe not for that level of stakes, But he's that's definitely yeah. something that's...
Yeah, not the first time he's been down there.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
and not to mention the fact that last year, you know, we all saw what happened last year between the Gibbs guys. You know, Ty wrecked his teammate. We didn't even fucking need to. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, this year, you get two teammates who fought pretty fucking fairly and had an awesome finish. And it sucks that neither one of them ended up making the Final Four, but... You know, as a fan, there's nothing you can ask for more than that. Even as a team owner, it's like those two guys race their asses off, and they both made it to the finish line at the very least.
Yeah.
I guess. I don't know.
Definitely a new favorite, Austin and Pop Pop's life.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
Yeah, we're about due for another meltdown over there. You know, just the Tyler Reddick one had, you know, sort of dissipated, and we forgot about it, so... Nice to be reminded. Yeah. Not a place I'd want to work. Not that they would have me. So I referred to Pop Pop's taxidermy collection as a stuffed animal collection. So
yeah,
he's going to whoop my ass next, but yeah. not Sheldon.
Yeah, so. It's been about 5 years since I went through his stuffed animal collection, and it was more intense than I remembered. There's just so many dead deer in one place.
He has all that stuff at the museum on the campus?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So like, okay. We talked about this in the show a bunch, but just to give you the Cliff Note version, like, there is the big race shop area. Mm-hmm. You walk through that, and like, well, that's cool. It's just like the 90s, and you make a left turn, and all of a sudden you're just in this hall of fucking...
You're greeted by a gigantic
wall of
dead
deer.
Polar bear.
Good Lord.
I mean, I guess I'm not surprised, but what does this house look like at this point then? You know, is this overflow from...
It's like a fucking Bass Pro Shops in there, I bet.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, not a fun place to be right now, I'm sure. I the vibe in there has got to be off, to put it lightly.
Yeah.
You got to wonder if Sheldon went to the competition meeting on Monday and...
I don't think he did.
No, I think
he's in the car this weekend. He's on the entry list, so
yeah, it'd be pretty silly to not put him in. Like, besides, who the fuck else are they gonna get? Get Jesse Love started early? I don't know.
Yeah,
because he's gonna respect like Austin Hill.
Yeah. It ain't like Gibbs has an extra car either right now, so whatever. Yeah, one more weekend, they'll deal with it.
Yeah, it'll be fine. But yeah,
I'm sure they'll give the two car that special sauce to make sure that he's nowhere to be seen.
Yeah, that extra,
I could see that happening.
That extra little kiss of 20th to 25th.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to maybe not fill the rear end up fully with gear lube or something just to... Oh, darn, I don't know what happened.
Yeah, or my favorite retirement from the old IndyCar days that you'd see on timing and scoring, just handling.
Yeah.
That's the official reason. Handling. But, yeah, I don't even know what else happened, to be honest. I didn't watch that race. I was at Stafford watching Modifieds, watching Matt Hirschman take a big check home yet again. That was pretty fucking cool. But
I mean, overall, it was a decent race. I don't have any specific memories either. I mean, just the ending really... I don't know. It kind of washed away anything else that happened.
Well, it was like an hour red flag, and again, I got this. The only part of that race I experienced live was leaving the grandstands and hopping in my car and flipping the race on. Like, oh, cool, there's like 10 laps to go, and then getting red flagged, and then I sat in traffic for a good 45 minutes trying to get out of the racetrack because it was so packed. Which, by the way, that's fucking awesome. If there's a lot of traffic at a racetrack, that means it's healthy. And Stafford definitely packed the place out. It was fucking great. And by the way, they have a nice little like bar section on the front stretch now. So it's really really slick. Nice cocktail.
Make sure to share those updates with Andy this weekend.
The televisions.
Convince him otherwise.
the individual screens at each urinal actually were playing the Flow Racing broadcast too. So.
I spent the entire Xfinity race sitting directly behind Andy. So Andy was kind of more of a show than the majority of the Xfinity race until the end.
Did you say he don't like Lane Riggs?
He hates Scott Riggs. And he was taking it out on Lane Riggs every lap of that race. Every time that 11 drove by, he was double burdening it.
I really respect that type of hatred for a driver.
Oh, yeah.
This is a familial curse.
Well, and it's just a blind your kin did something to me or has wronged me in some way, so your entire family gets
very
Hatfield
McCoy. And
let's, let's be real, Scott Riggs sucked anyways. Yeah. So, I mean, come on.
Score one for Team Andy.
I just imagine Lane in there driving by every lap going, God, what did I do to this guy? Like,
there's this guy without a shirt on and a sleeveless jean jacket flipping me off nonstop. What did I do?
It's like my
he's
third
got
race.
Peanut shells in his beard and he's smoking cigarettes through his nose. What did I do to anger this man? Yeah, Andy was on one.
How,
Saturday.
So... When did you guys, not to, you know, share too much of your personal lives on here, but when did you cross the threshold into too fucked up to leave the facility and you tried? Was that during the red flag?
Oh, so mine was for sure afterwards in the campground.
Yeah, so you actually made it out of the track.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had packed like a couple of soft coolers. I think between my buddy and I, we had 12 beers in the grandstands. They were gone before that red flag happened. So if anything, that red flag saved us a little bit.
Oh, wow.
Kind of gave us an extra hour to cool off, but
God bless you for using your time wisely. That's like go time for me. It's like I'm going to erase this as much as possible.
Yeah. So after the Xfinity race, I went back to my other friend's camper, who were set up out by the main road in some lady's yard named Dorothy.
Dorothy.
And that's where I was already kind of drunk at that point, and I just scarfed down a bunch of their homemade chili that they had prepared. And then we got their old man neighbor, Tommy and Anita, who were both wasted too, drive us.
That's out by turn one, right? When you're walking like from the gas station down the hill to turn one, kind of?
Yeah.
That row of houses?
Yeah. It goes up to the travel inn.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So they were in one of those yards.
That's the cool thing about Martinsville is that there's people who live like pretty much on the property.
There's
all
a house at the top of the campgrounds. There's a house back there, like a normal, I live here every other day of the year house, like at the top of the hill. It's very weird to figure that out.
Yeah, Wilkesboro's the same way.
Yeah, people are just in there. It's kind of cool, and that you can pay $10 to park in their yard, and they'll drive you down to. The track. And
oh
the
no,
golf
they're not.
Car,
they're not charging $10. Dorothy was charging $50 a day to park in her yard.
Damn,
she was charging.
Dorothy's a capitalist. All right,
thanks, Joe Biden. Jesus,
$2.50 for the weekend to camp in her yard, and she had made homemade pies that she was selling for $3 a pop.
Well,
so Dorothy, this is her weekend to make a killing.
Yeah. But that is a cool thing about that place that a lot of tracks don't have, is just that there are people fucking living at it.
Yeah.
So you made it to the chili country.
Right. I ate the chili. That didn't really sober me up as much as I hoped. And then we went over to the campground. And we got to the campground, and I realized, like, literally everyone I know was camped in that one spot. Like, Mike and Steve were set up, and then... right up the hill from them were my friends Ashley and Levi, who were having a Halloween party. And then right off to the other side of them were this guy who owns a school bus that I met at the Coke 600 last year. So, like, it was just a triangle of danger. And Andy had wandered in, too, with all his friends. And
yeah.
It just went, it went downhill quick.
Yeah, how much longer were you... So they called us, Mike and True Love.
We had a nice
Brian
little FaceTime, apparently.
Yeah.
It was about 11:30.
Oh.
And I remember you being very shocked that I was home already, because I'd been at the racetrack.
Oh, right.
You're like, you're already home? And I was like, I've been home for 3 hours. Because I guess you guys sat through, like, the longest red flag of the year or some shit, so I get it. But man, that looked like a lot of fun. It definitely seemed like a quintessential NASCAR campground experience. They party pretty hard in Martinsville, I would assume, right?
It was I wouldn't say it was reckless hard. They definitely...
Not like
Talladega
or anything like that?
No, definitely not. It was... it was solid, and then it just, you know, as the kind of the midnight creeps in, everybody just kind of dissipates, and oddly self-policing as far as making sure you're not, you know, causing riffraff or starting fights or anything like that. But I expected it to be wild, but yeah. it was pretty good for what I expected anyway.
That's cool.
Good time. Would recommend it to anyone.
I'm sure being in a little more of a residential area than like a Talladega or whatever probably helps keep the vibe a little bit more quiet too. You'd think.
Sure.
Yeah, you're literally in somebody's yard.
And I feel like I was on the, and True Love too, obviously, I think we were on the lower end of the, or underneath the median age of the people camping at the campground. A lot of like, we were next to a couple older guys on one side, and then this older couple on the other side of us. And aside from the little party up the hill and a couple other spots, it was really mostly, you know, adults, for lack of a better term.
No. I know exactly what you mean.
Oldies. It was great. The guys next to us on Friday night, the one dude went to bed at like 8:45, and I was like, great. This is exactly what I needed. So I just waited for like 10 more minutes and then just went to bed. It was fantastic.
Yeah, it's great to have the quiet neighbors, that's for sure.
Yeah, I just didn't want to be the first guy to go to bed on a Friday night at a racetrack after not really drinking anything that day, just because I was wiped out from the day before. So that was nice that he unknowingly gave me that out.
That's nice.
Made me feel less terrible about myself.
But then you got woken up by a marching band the next morning, so I guess it gives
you
shit, right?
Oh my God, it was awesome.
So Sunday was fucking packed, right? It looked insane on television, just how many people were at Martinsville.
Yeah,
it was a sold out crowd.
That's awesome.
Which I don't think I've ever been to a sold out race at Martinsville.
It's been a while since it's happened, even since they took some of the grandstands down. So
yeah. So Sunday. Okay, so backtrack a little. Saturday night, Mike and Steve sent me home with a. I believe it was a quesadilla.
You're damn right it was.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. You weren't camping. That's right.
No. So Jeremy still had to drive us an hour back to his house after the campground. I have no idea how much he had been drinking. I just know that I was wasted.
Drunk enough to assume everybody else is a shit face as you.
Yeah, they sent me home with a quesadilla. We stopped at a gas station at some point. I bought some pork rinds and a couple taquitos.
Oh, God.
Nice.
And then I woke up at like 6 the next morning and puked up all of that.
Nice.
Oof.
So.
I'm not sure if I should apologize to you or say you're welcome. I'm not sure what the right course of action is.
I don't think I puked up the quesadilla. I think it was more the taquitos, the gas station taquitos.
Yeah, I don't even know if I blame the liquor on that one. That just seems like...
So Sunday didn't start off great for me. I truly contemplated just staying on that couch and not going to the race.
Yeah.
I had a moment of doubt.
Yeah, you definitely texted us, what was it, like 10 o'clock, something like that?
I think it was before that. It was like 9 something, because I was already well awake, and you're like, yep, this is already off to off.
I'm dying.
Yep. Yeah, Rob forced me to eat some leftover pizza that I found.
Yeah. This is a little. I did from afar. Here's the deal, folks. If you wake up feeling like that, your body needs to latch on to something. So, force the food in you. It's not gonna feel good.
It was forced for sure because it tasted
it
just like those taquitos that I threw up.
Ooh.
Probably came from the same place, but you you gotta force it in, and if it comes back up, then you're probably gonna throw up anyway, or you'll feel like $1 million. There's no in between.
And to make this the throw up podcast, but if you're going to throw up, you want to have some substance there. Nobody likes a dry heave after a night of drinking. That's just bad news.
It is bad news, and your tum tum hurts all day, and fuck that shit.
Yep.
So, but it worked, did it not?
It did actually kind of work. I didn't end up having a headache. I just felt icky.
Yeah.
I didn't feel top notch. Oh, yeah.
Well, at least the winter kept you from feeling any ickier, you know?
Well, true, but that was much, much, much later. Before
several
days any type
later.
Of joy was felt.
Yeah, I was really happy to see Blaney win that race and not Eric Almirola or any of the other like wet fart, I'm trying to play the gas mileage in the tires game.
Yeah. With all due respect to you guys, I was really pulling for the 10 car to just bum everybody out. There would have been nothing funnier than
so bummed.
All of that effort just to watch Eric Almirola win, because it's happened to me too. So
yeah.
Yeah, I've seen it before too. All that like drama build up over Denny and the final four, and
yeah,
to have to walk away with an Eric Almirola win.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I mean, hell, it seemed like for a second you were going to get a chase win out of it, but
that tire strategy wasn't.
And then Corey LaJoy was right there too.
Oh god, he was stressing me out too. I was like, this is my nightmare.
Well, I guess we got to talk a little bit about the tires, since they were a big part of the weekend, and granted it wasn't like a night and day difference, but it's the race itself was a whole lot better than the past few next gen Martinsville races. It seems like the tires made somewhat of a difference. I mean, Blaney was able to pass cars on the outside, which has not been something that's happened there. I don't know if it's happened in the next gen car, really.
Yeah. I agree, Brian. I thought the race on television, at least, was pretty good. It was it wasn't great by any means, but it was certainly better than the past few Martinsville races we've seen, especially with the next gen car.
Yeah.
But I've heard that in person it was actually boring. It wasn't great. It was kind of the same thing. Or
Denny, we'll say this before you guys can talk about actually being there, but Denny was like, yeah, it was people voted it as a good race because of the dramas, because of the announcers, because all the other shit. Like, that's how, maybe that's because Denny didn't make the playoffs that he was saying that.
Well, that's why I liked that race. Was
I will say, every time that like Blaney and Hamlin were battling and Blaney would pass him, the crowd would lose their shit. Like,
oh, you absolutely can hear that on the TV too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the tires were a weird thing. I mean, certainly, like, the laid rubber and then getting the outside to work, I guess maybe when the bottom was too rubbered up, was a cool layer to it. But then at the end of the race, Larson's left side tires went 240 laps, 220 laps, something like that.
Yeah.
Like, he pitted on lap 300 and didn't take tires, or took right size or something like that, and then went the rest of the way on, you know, just he stopped for fuel there just because I guess the fuel mileage stuff. But like, I don't understand how the tire can do both of those things. Unless
I think Harvick was on a
similar
strategy as well. I think Kevin Harvick ran really long on his left sides.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I guess the wear went down when the track rubbered up, which obviously makes sense. Mm. The couple points that, you know, everybody's been making is like, well, Goodyear can't produce a tire that fails on the track. Okay, I get that. I mean, from a marketing standpoint, but where the fuck was that thought 30 years ago when people were dying in a tire war? You know,
like, it's because Hoosier had like three guys and a mouse making tires for the entire Cup Series. So.
Yeah, but
they
if
were
you go
fast.
If you go back and rewatch that season, they were weeks back and forth where nobody can run Hoosiers, nobody can run Goodyears. Like, the tires were just all over the fucking place, and you know, it was an actually dangerous thing. Whereas now it's like the tires, you know, you could produce a tire that's going to wear out faster and it's not going to cause a safety issue for drivers, at least at most tracks.
That's also a cultural change, though. Racing is much safer than it used to be. The sort of death and dismemberment expectation is gone now. And for most people anyway, even though it's still dangerous, like, you don't really hear about injuries all that often, or certainly not deaths or anything like that. And road safety is a lot different now too. So I get it. You know, you get some fresh brass in there and never wasn't part of the blood and guts era of motorsports. And I understand why you don't want to make a tire that blows up on national television.
maybe that tire from Sunday is the precursor for the future to get that sort of best of both worlds.
Yeah.
They've got, you know, it's got a tire that gives up, but it doesn't blow, and it still kind of is, you know, racy, and there's, you know, there's some sort of maybe path forward there. But yeah, it was weird, like, kind of following the race or like, you know, I had my headset on, so I was like listening to the MRN guys and them talking about how all of that was sort of transpiring. Was I almost want to go back and watch the race on the broadcast, like watch the broadcast just so I can see it a little bit, but it was very they were equally confused about how it was kind of all kind of coming together with these tires that seemed like they would literally not fail, but that they were also, the track was the darkest it's ever been.
Yeah. Well, there's just a lot more rubber, too. Those are very wide tires.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's, the tires seem to be, you know, again, I don't care about the tires as much as the other issues with the car that caused everything to be sort of single file. And granted, there was improvements in the racing, but still, the whole field was within a very small threshold of each other when it comes to, like, lap times and speed and all that. So that's not great at a place like Martinsville. Especially when you can just shift when you get crossed up in a corner and kind of get your composure back. And it's just, yeah, it's just not good. But again, at least on TV, better than previous races, but still a long way to go, I think, to make the product at Martinsville and the other short tracks something to get excited about. But,
well, you know, gotta make progress somewhere, I guess. So, yeah, little victories. But
again, all that shit talk aside, I did have a good time watching the race. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I thought in person it was one of the best Martinsville races I've been to in a minute. So
yeah,
that's good. And yeah, it had a great finish. Go ahead.
Yeah, and plus where I was sitting in turn two this time, and I've never sat there before, and I actually really liked those seats. I think more than anywhere else I've sat before. So
it's cool over there, like sort of at the end of that grandstand by where the backstretch grandstands used to be, where it's just like a bunch of ads now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a neat perspective, and it's kind of cool to get to actually see the finish line from the TV perspective, sort of from that angle.
Now, Mike, did you go up to the grandstand Sunday, or did you stay?
No, we didn't. We stayed in the infield, or in the, I can't even call it an infield, I guess, like in the, you know, in the garage or whatever, and then watched the last half of the race from Alex's box, which was fun.
Oh, that's cool. I've never had that experience. What is that like?
So, I mean, we sat behind Blake and his engineer, and I think Blake's dad was actually up there with us too. I'm trying to put that together after the fact, because he like hugged Blake when it was over. It's like this old guy, but it was neat. There's just, it's like kind of what you see on TV. There's a million monitors. One has the broadcast in real time, so without the delay, and then you've got all of their, one has the SMT in real time, one has SMT with all the other, like the teammates or the comparable cars or the cars that they're racing next to, and then just screens that look like the Matrix with data and data and data and data. Pretty neat deal to kind of see that in real time, and watching those guys sort of plan for and choreograph the pit stop. Super, super cool experience.
That's awesome.
And I was in the shade, so that was
even better.
Probably the best part of the whole thing.
Even definitely wasn't. Just out there stewing with my bag of hot dogs.
Brutal.
But I did have a great view of the pace car getting towed, and that was definitely the loudest crowd reaction of the entire day.
Yeah, you want to talk about not selling, not what you want to see on television is a Chevy Camaro breaking down on TV. I'm sure somebody at Chevy was pulling their hair out for that one.
Oh, yeah.
So it goes.
Yeah, I just want to, before we wrap up Martinsville, I just want to give a shout out to my friends, Amy, I can't even talk right now, Adam and Jamie. Not Amy, Adam and Jamie, who the past 2 years when we've gone to Martinsville, they're the ones that camped in Dorothy's yard, but they always take real good care of me, feed me, they hook us up with tickets from Adam's job, and like, just the best two people. And I know I've mentioned Adam on here before, but his dad was the one that married Bobby Allison's daughter. So having Bobby Allison as his step grandpa, and Davey Allison is like his step uncle.
Nice. And hearing all sorts of Allison stories.
Always a lot of cool Allison stories from them, for sure.
That's one of the more upbeat Sunday, Allison stories that we heard over the weekend.
Yeah, he's got some good ones. Yeah, we drank an ice cold Miller High Life out of a bottle when I was at my peak hungover for his dad. So
nice.
Always a good time with those two.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Cool.
So who do we got in the playoffs? We got, or the playoffs, the final, the championship round. It's fucking here. It's November. Right now it's November. What the fuck?
Oh, yeah.
Got Kyle Larson and Christopher Bell up there reliving some USAC championship battle shit. You got Ryan Blaney up in there. And you got Computer Boy, William Byron.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's those are our finalists. We have two dirt racers, a fucking video gamer, and...
son of one of the greatest sprint car drivers of all time. So technically three dirt racers by blood.
Yeah, but Blaney's not.
No, he's not at all, but...
let's be real. I don't know, man. I think it's... It's really hard to fuck with Blaney, I think, at this point. He's on the hottest streak of everybody in the playoffs, at least right now. He's really good at that track. Penske won there last year. Yep. He probably should have won last year. Mm-hmm. It's going to be tough. It's going to be real tough. I've already got my bets in on him, so we'll see what
happens. Same.
Yeah. He's definitely the fan favorite for this weekend.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to be mad about it. Obviously, Larson's my guy, but and I think he has a chance at it. But I don't know. They're way too wacky and inconsistent.
I Larson is
after
definitely
the barrel
the one
thing. I'm not going to talk about him.
Yeah,
until it's over.
Does Phoenix have barrels? Can anyone?
Phoenix has all sorts of weird shit you can hit. There's all sorts of dumb things he can invent for himself there. So, but he's won there before. But
oh, that's my cat. I'm not in my bedroom today, so
not a Larson fan.
not a Larson fan.
But yeah, obviously that's where my heart lies. But I gotta agree with y'all. Like Ryan Blaney is definitely running better than anybody right now, and it seems to be the prevailing theory from everyone who knows what they're talking about. When you have the momentum like that, that's the guy to watch. So I who am I to disagree with?
Well, it's momentum and it's. He has been the best in this car at that track so to this point. So it's until he's proven otherwise, you kind of have to. I know Larson, I think, is truly the betting favorite, but I think Blaney needs to be recognized as maybe the scariest guy coming into this weekend.
Yeah, I definitely think he's got the upper hand for sure. And again, like, you know, Byron's good too, and you know.
So he won there in the spring, so.
And so is Christopher Bell. Christopher Bell is amazing at New Hampshire, and Phoenix is about the closest approximation to that. So, like, it's going to be a hell of a battle, and, of course, those cars are all cheated up to high heaven, so.
How cheated up do you think the four car is going to be this weekend? Do you think Roddy just kind of goes out, like, zero Fs and just that thing's twisted?
That fucker's going to have a V10 in it. In.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the front and back windshields on that. Four car this weekend.
Yeah, we're
gonna made a half ply Lexan with three bolts holding it in.
Yeah, we're gonna see what 750 horsepower looks like out of that car. How goddamn cool would it be to see him win there? Because again, the Stuart Haas has kind of picked it up recently, and they always do okay at those sort of flatter tracks like that. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Kevin Harvick maybe get a little the magic. Dale Jr. restrictor plate stuck in his car. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's getting the call the night before. That's for sure.
But yeah, that'd be cool to see. And I'm honestly like my little heart is pulling for that, despite the fact that there's people I would rather see win that. But it's crazy. I just want to shout you guys out real quick. We've actually made a full year of doing this fucking podcast. So congratulations.
Nice work, guys.
We're here. We're professionals
now.
Full
season. Oh, God.
But yeah,
full
it'll be
season without Applebee's trying to cease and desist us.
That's right. We one full year. Take that, legal department, you fucking idiots. Going to get brazen in the off season, but.
You're just going to wake up. Mike Harmon's going to be at your front door at some early morning in December. He just punches you in the face and gets back in his car.
That's how it.
Get off my corner.
Great story, though.
Oh, yeah, we can make t-shirts of that for sure.
And I know I forget the truck series exists, but with Carson Hocevar, he's the guy.
I think that's who I'm pulling for.
Yeah, I mean.
Watch, yeah, Ben Rhodes is going to fucking win it, because, of course, but I'm hoping for Carson Hocevar. I've become a fan.
Which, we should quick talk about him real quick, because he had a cool moment in the race when he spun out Ty Gibbs. And so I guess
Logano got him.
Well, no, Ty. They both no. did. They both
Carson
did.
Got him too. Yeah,
yeah Carson got him good too. Like so, and so they were doing the Championship Four truck. Great, you know, truck interviews this week. I don't know, it was Pockris or somebody, and they asked him about that. And basically, Carson gave a very good answer, and it wasn't, you know, I think a few people are like, he can't keep doing that shit in the Cup Series, and Carson knows that. But Carson basically said like, Ty was running up his ass all day, and he tried to let him go a few times, but Ty just kept hitting him, and Ty is younger than Carson. So yeah. That's where he said, like, yeah, if it was like Harvick, let's say, for instance, or some older respected driver, I would have never done that. But I have to let him know that I'm not going to take that shit. So yeah. I fully back that. He says he didn't mean to spin him out, but it was very clearly he turned to the right.
I don't know about
like,
that.
Oh, yeah. Like,
so he's like, yeah, I didn't mean to hit him that hard, basically. So
yeah, Carson goes for it. He's a little clap for you. Nice job, buddy. Logano also got his turn, too, and he definitely dumped the shit out of him as well. So,
yep.
Love to see it.
Mm-hmm. No. Apparently, him, Gibbs and Logano have been beefing for a little bit now. I hadn't noticed that, and that, I think, is the greatest thing.
Since he left?
Interesting
beef. It's like two dorks battling each other on the track.
Oh,
like
you mean Ty
favorite.
Gibbs.
Yeah, Ty Gibbs and Joey have been kind of all over each other the last month or so, apparently.
Oh, shit. I thought you meant the whole team, because that's also true. that's a tale as old as time. So, again, another generational curse passed down.
So, but we didn't even talk about Xfinity. So, who do we think we got for Xfinity?
My little heart's pulling for Allgaier to finally get one.
Yeah, I think Allgaier
will be
I have to. Who else is even in it? I mean, Sam Mayer, which I don't really care about. I don't like John Hunter.
Yeah.
No, please no.
Cole Custer.
And Cole. Okay, so I'm good with either Cole or Allgaier. I want one of those two.
I would love to see Cole Custer do it, but I just don't think he's got anything on Justin Allgaier. I really don't.
Yeah.
Allgaier's really good at Phoenix, and they've been kind of heating up too. So it's kind of the same logic with Blaney. I just think that Allgaier's got the upper hand on everybody, and I expect to see them win.
Yeah, I can see that.
Mm-hmm. But I'd love to see old Cole Custer get that championship and take his ass to the Thirsty Beaver on a Sunday night. I guess it'd be a Monday because it's a long haul back from Phoenix, that's for sure.
I think they're closed on Monday, so...
Fuck! I'll even be in Charlotte, too.
Can remember that time I left my debit card there and they were closed Monday and Tuesday?
Right. Yeah.
I left it there on a fucking...
Mike, have you been to the Thirsty Beaver in Charlotte?
I haven't, no. I haven't. I actually haven't ever been to Charlotte for pleasure. I've been through the airport a bunch of times, like for work and stuff, but I've never actually spent any time in Charlotte. I think my buddy Steve and our wives are planning a trip there in the spring, maybe to tie it with some NASCAR stuff, but the Thirsty Beaver is on the list of places to investigate while we're there.
Go eat at the old Midwood Smokehouse while you're there too. That's just a short walk. That's some good Carolina barbecue.
Perfect.
But you're gonna need some sustenance.
Yeah, you're gonna need
you
to pack
to
some
the Beaver.
Pork and some fucking broccoli casserole into your gut before you head on down there.
Yeah.
Clog the hole up.
I can't wait.
Jesus.
So I guess we should move on to, I think, do we have two Darfs of the Week, technically?
Technically we do. Well, the original Darf of the Week
three?
Is going to be, well, it depends.
Is depends one of on how you classify two of them.
Well, Ed Gossage was my first candidate.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He went on Twitter, like, almost immediately after the fucking race on Sunday, says, why can't Denny Hamlin... Real quick, if you don't know who Eddie Gossage is, he was the former president of Texas Motor Speedway. He and his team were responsible for making one half of the track a different banking angle than the other half and just completely making it dog shit, but that's not his fault, apparently. But anyway, he goes on Twitter after Denny Hamlin gets knocked out and says, why can't Denny win the NASCAR title? He's won 51 races, 3 Daytona 500s, a Coke 600, but never the champ. Inside scoop. Here it comes. Folks in the garage question... focus and his intelligence, which I guess I do too, makes emotional decisions, losing points, and distracted by too many non-competition items.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that.
Yeah, I don't either. I mean, yeah.
But then he listed out the items.
See, my screenshot runs out after that. But what was the big one? It was that Danny likes to play. He likes professional sports.
He's an NBA fan.
He owns a team with Michael fucking Jordan.
Yeah.
Come on. Of course he likes basketball.
There's got to be more to... Denny has had to have wronged Eddie in some way in the past for this to just...
I don't know if it was a timing thing or what, but Denny didn't say shit about it on the show this week. I was shocked. I was waiting for that, and didn't say a word. And it's like, you know, Eddie doesn't have any stroke anymore. It's like he can't be playing a political game by not responding to that. Maybe he just didn't hear it in time. But
he's apparently a motivational speaker now. He did that little farewell drone show at Texas Motor Speedway, and that was it. So. But yeah, that was. I thought that was a pretty dumb opinion. I think Denny, I think he's a victim of the championship format more than his love of the NBA. But you never. I mean, also you sit there and call Mark Martin a hack for not winning a championship, because that's kind of bullshit too. I kind of compare those two as much as I hate to do that. Very similar trajectories. And now a title is that much harder to win because there's a big dice roll at the end of the season to get it. So, I don't know. It's pretty hard for you to judge Denny Hamlin and question his focus when he's won that many cup races and really that short of a time. So, Eddie, he's definitely my, I guess, my corporate America dar for the week. He gets to fly coach to his next motivational speaking gig as his sentence. But our actual dar for the week, I don't even know.
I don't know how to explain this. Like, I really don't, because this... I'm trying to look through the screenshots now, and it's such a fucking mess. Like, look, let's just say this. Ultimate 23 Dragon, she's the ultimate Johnny Benson fan on Twitter. I know she's...
I think
she's,
we've mentioned
weird
her on
thing
the show
number
before.
One. I think she's been the Dar for the Week previously.
Oh, yeah, she has. Yeah. I think so. Well-loved in the shitposting group, for sure.
Early on in our career.
She basically told Raja Karuth that if he wrecks Austin Hill, then their beef over Raja being quote unquote racist will be squashed. Like, what delusions of grandeur does this woman
find
have?
What she was referring to originally. Like,
on Twitter, so.
Yeah. I don't know. Let's just say that she's got wrestling stuff in her bio too. She is 1,000% on the spectrum somewhere, and this is how these people act. So I've had a lot of experience in my time on the internet with people who behave like this. So just
this
out there.
This is coming from
mentally.
The man who had to mute the wrestling show he was watching in the background before we hit record.
Yeah, it's a fact. I do want to read the one paragraph.
I know the audience, okay? I know the audience.
I do want to read the one paragraph out of this like very biblical chapter of nonsense she wrote. I want to read the last paragraph because it's so funny to me. I am a lady of my word. So if you take Austin Hill out at Phoenix, I will withdraw my request for your immediate or indefinite suspension from NASCAR, remove the video version of this request, and promote you on my preference scale from bad to neutral. And I'm sure you'll garner a lot of new fans. Good luck at Phoenix and happy hill hunting. Thanks, Ultimate 23 Dragon. Just how many people that have YouTube channels on the internet think that NASCAR gives a fuck about their opinion? Like, I will withdraw my formal request. It's like, fuck you. Join the fan council if you really want to have a say in something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think a big
you want to choose whether or not we're going to draft at every racetrack or if you like drafting at other racetracks. That's how the questions are. There's always one answer for all of them.
I think the problem with this type of behavior is a lot of these people have only been on the internet for a few years, and they think because they've built any type of little platform that anyone actually gives a shit, whereas some of us who've been on the internet for half of our lives now know that
since
no
the
one
internet
gives a
was
shit.
Invented.
Yeah, like nobody fucking cares. Yeah. Like, your opinion does not matter about anything.
Yeah,
really.
some of us just get completely ignored by the American Canadian tour when they ask for media credentials.
And I got ignored by fucking BJ the other day. I asked about his the paint scheme, if it was influenced by Bloomquist. I didn't get not one fucking response. I was very pissed off about that.
Wow.
Enjoy your fucking millions of dollars, dickhead.
Too big for his britches. He's going to be going to Stafford with me and my rich friends pretty soon. So. But yeah, Ultimate 23 Dragon is she gets an X suspension from Elon personally, because it'd be really funny to me if that happened. Also, before we move on from NASCAR content, I just want to say, how funny would it be if Ty Dillon wrecked Kevin Harvick at Phoenix?
Oh,
wouldn't that be great?
It'd be like that would be the fullest of full circles.
Yeah, I would love that. The slow RCR fucking scorn. Ooh. Just coming around to roost. I would laugh and laugh and laugh, and I hope it happens, because
it'll be the last time Ty Dillon is hopefully relevant in a cup car, so you might as well go out with
I
a bang anyway.
I saw something on the internet about him maybe going to college, which is interesting.
Yeah, I don't understand that. I mean, good for Ty to still be employed somewhere, but I don't know.
I wish I could fail upwards at the clip that he's able to do that. It's a skill that not many possess.
No, I guess when you got the Childress Vineyards money behind you, though, then it definitely helps.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I did see a great tweet this week that said, what the fuck did it say? RCR is a wine company that races on the side.
That's pretty much true. That's a big fucking business, the winery side of it. But yeah, not very good wine, I don't think. But again, I drink 99 bananas, so I guess I don't really know what the fuck I'm talking about. Don't trust this palate, folks. But yeah, those are my Darves.
Darves of the week. Call them Darves. It's fine.
And my punishment for having to go through all that would be to listen to Eddie Gossage and Ultimate 23 Dragon talk to each other on a Zoom call. Imagine how bad that would be. But yeah, wow. Real bad this week. We still got a video of the week to talk about, folks.
Thankfully, this video, there's not a whole lot to say about it. I hate to say that, because the reason I chose this video, the video is Alan Kulwicki Championship of Dreams, which is a VHS tape that was put out right after Alan died. It was obviously filmed a couple months prior to him passing. One, I was trying to find something about Alan in Phoenix, and I couldn't really find anything good. And then this popped up, and I remember having the tape as a kid, so I wanted to go back and watch it. And the thing with Alan is, when you look at where he sits in history, he's like almost a forgotten champion, because really his cup career was not very long. He only won a couple races. He was never a guy that was incredibly flashy or outspoken or anything like that. You know, he started the season prior to his championship winning season unsponsored, and went from this whirlwind where he started the season with no money, gets a sponsor, wins a championship, dies. And you look at the 90s and even the 80s at all the champions, and like, he sticks out as a sore thumb as far as being the outlier. Look at all the Earnhardt wins, all the Rust, the Wallaces, the Elliotts, the Bonnies, Yates wins, like, and then there's Alan Kulwicki in the middle of it. Well, part of Hendrick, but I mean,
Well, that's the thing, like, and I'm glad you brought up the Phoenix connection, because that, of course, is where Alan got his first win, and that's also where we saw the first Polish victory lap. That's Alan Kulwicki, which a lot of guys do now, and, a lot of guys who really, like Ryan Blaney will do it.
Yeah, he did it on Sunday.
And he's one of those guys that's definitely a student of the sport and wants to be sort of a steward of the history, at least from what I can tell. And, that's sort of a callback. So Alan's definitely like the racer's racer, or like the really nerdy, like old school fans kind of racer. And I think all of us kind of have a love for Alan for that reason.
Yeah, absolutely. And watching this video, I wanted to see if we could kind of get a little more insight on him, because there's just, compared to everybody else, there's not that much info out there on him, and you really unfortunately don't get a whole lot of extra info out of this video. It's a pretty basic half hour interview with Benny Parsons. Anytime you see Benny is great. But
very
you go
nice
you're...
suit and a floral tie he's got on.
Walking down the beach in a full suit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mike, did you watch this video?
I got about 25 minutes into it before we jumped on.
Okay. So you missed basically the best parts, and we'll get to that at the very end. Because the first half is pretty boring. It's a really elementary interview with Alan, you know, ask him about the struggles of being a team owner driver, ask some really basic questions about the origins of his career. You know, for those who aren't aware, you know, Alan started off short track racing in Wisconsin in the 80s. He was a mechanical engineer and used those skills to race. His dad did race when he was younger, but didn't really have a ton of support from his family. Didn't have much of a family at all, really. His mom died when he was young. He was half raised by his grandmother and his aunts. His grandmother died when he was like 7 or 8, and his brother died the year later. Wasn't that close with his dad, it seems. So Alan, you know, accomplished all this stuff almost on his own.
Yep.
And just that in itself is a pretty amazing feat. But
and the world he came out of too was the ASA ArtGo world, of which is of course like Rich Bickle and Dick Trickle and Mark Martin and, you know, those guys, you know.
Yeah, just, absolutely some of the best of the best, you know, like, and he came out of that. I mean, he definitely wasn't winning as many races as those guys, but you know, he took his skills from that series straight to NASCAR, and straight to the Cup Series too, like not even any of the lower tier series. Didn't intend to do this on his own. You know, he went down there with the intentions of getting in someone else's car, but just sort of made it happen through his own will and his own experience and you know, for what other people saw in him and his potential. And, you know, he had full factory sponsorship for 4 years with ZRX. He won the Rookie of the Year. He won a couple of races. But then in 91, it was all gone. And he started off the season with no sponsor, basically running an Army paint scheme at Daytona just for a couple bucks, probably for tire money, I'm assuming, because, you know, the Army that was during the Gulf War. The military wanted to show, I don't know, I guess support from the fans. I don't know what the fuck that was all about.
Remind everybody they were there.
Yeah, yes. I don't know what the fuck that was all about. But there were 5 different military cars at Daytona that year.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, in a year later, he had full factory sponsorship from Hooters. And you know, history was made. But, you know, Benny asks Alan at one point, who are you committed to? Because at this point, this was after ZRX was gone from the team, and Alan had to figure out sponsorship and money, and he had no sponsorship. And at that point, Alan, it was too late to find any sponsors. He had an opportunity to go run with Junior Johnson, but that opportunity went away because he thought he still had the ZRX money. And so he just kind of had to stick it out. You know, Benny asked him, who are you committed to? And he says, myself, I guess. Like, he felt obligated to himself and his team to keep that team running. And, you know, what they were able to accomplish was just magical. You do actually also get a look at Hooters, though. You meet the CEO of Hooters. I can't remember if this guy died in the plane crash with Alan or not, but he doesn't necessarily look like the type of guy you would think that would run Hooters, I guess.
No, not at all.
I mean, granted, you know, 80s were a whole lot different time.
A boring old white guy.
Yeah, just boring old white guy. And here's where it
You're
starts.
Surprised that's the guy who owns Hooters?
Yeah. I don't know. I think in my head, when you think of a company like Hooters, you think of a guy that's just a little more bombastic and like a big fat guy to me. That's who I'm thinking of. But this is when it starts to get a little bit interesting. One, I didn't realize that Naturally Fresh was its own brand. I thought Naturally Fresh was like a Hooters catchphrase, but I guess that was part of the sponsorship deal. If you look at the car, it says Naturally Fresh right underneath Hooters, you know, on the quarter panels and whatnot. But then we jump into, there's a segue where, you know, they talk about the different appearances and things that drivers and team owners have to do to appease their sponsors. Benny ends the segue with, it's a tough job, but Alan can handle it. Just cue right to the photo shoot from the 92 Winston Cup poster with the women at Alan's feet. So that's the tough. That's the tough part of Alan's job, is doing that stuff. There is a little bit of an explanation of the victory lap and why Alan does it, which is cool. And then here's my favorite part of the whole video,
oh,
and probably
man,
the most the most interesting part of the video is a tour of Alan's house.
Oh,
this house is just the most gross pale scheme of colors. Alan's
so
like,
so
like,
90s.
Yeah, he's like, I like light wood and light pastels, and it's like, dude, you are 33 years old. What the fuck are you living in? Like, it looks like my aunt's house or something.
Yeah, you can tell that, like,
yeah,
like he hired a designer to do it. That this is like what was really in at that time in the 90s.
Oh yeah.
And then he like added a couple of his own touches to it that looked like a bachelor pad.
Yeah, it's just bizarre. He then they're taking a tour of the bathroom, and Benny exclaims, "Alan, why is there two shower heads in there?" In a real horned up way too, almost. And Alan responds with, "I'm thinking of the future," which you know, Alan was apparently a ladies' man. I guess.
Was. Yeah, he definitely was.
From what everybody says, so. And then from there, they head downstairs. Benny's fucking exhausted. He's got to eat something. And Alan starts making him a meal, but all you see is him sauteing this big wok of veggies. And, like, this whole time I'm thinking, like, Benny cannot want to eat this. I don't want to eat this.
He's not stoked at all.
And when they finally get to them actually sitting down and eating, like, he definitely made some, like, pasta, like, I don't know, chicken parm or something. Like, there's definitely clearly more than just veggies there. But Benny was like, "Yeah, I was looking kind of scared for a minute there, but this looks good." So Benny got a nice meal out of the whole day, hand cooked by Alan. And
long sleeves the whole time. Yeah.
It's not the video I remember it being as far as like actually giving me some backstory to Alan. Like, I've definitely learned substantially more over the years just being a fan and, like, you know, reading stuff. But you know, I guess if you want a brief little insight, and you know, because there's not a whole lot of Alan Kulicki interview footage out there, you know, if you're an Alan fan, it's worth a watch at least once, I would say.
I will say, if you really want to dive deep into the history of Alan Kulicki, the Dinner with Racers guys did
absolutely
a whole series on that, and it is fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
or if you're just really
into that, it's really,
or if you're
really
just really into 90s decor and design.
That's true. Yeah. You can watch this. Yeah. But yeah, the Dinner with Racers series is awesome, and it definitely adds a lot of detail to what you see here. I just just the footage of Benny Parsons wiping his mouth just came off my screen.
Benny, yeah, he takes a bite and he goes, not bad. And you can just tell he hated it.
Yeah, so Alan didn't season anything. Yeah, definitely. Like you said, Brian, a forgotten champion almost, which is insane in this world where we obsess over the Hall of Fame and all that. And again, like the Dinner with Racers podcast series was born out of an attempt to get him acknowledged by the NASCAR Hall of Fame. And surely he would have made it in at some point, but that was part of the case, was that podcast. So, And definitely the last guy to do it in the way that he did, completely on his own, building his own cars. That would be completely unheard of right now. Even Denny being a team owner right now, if he went over to win a championship for his own team, it wouldn't even be close to being the same thing that Alan did.
No. I don't even think you could do it. You could maybe
do it in a truck series anymore. Yeah.
Well, you couldn't do it in Cup. Trucks is probably the only NASCAR series you could actually maybe try to do it.
Yeah.
Maybe. But even then, I don't know.
But just with a team of almost volunteers, like almost like short track shit, going out to the Winston Cup series and nabbing a championship over, and again, this factors into arguably one of the greatest days in the sport's history. Of course, the 1992 championship that he did win came right down to the wire. There's a lot of documentaries on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a sad day in True Love's life, being a Bill Elliott fan.
I was a Davey Allison fan at the time.
Yeah. Oh, well, very sad day for him, too.
Yeah.
Davey lost
his
life not long after Allen. So, and that was also Jeff Gordon's first race. So a lot of, and Richard Petty's last. So a lot of, you know, Allen was right in the thick of that sort of like pressure cooker of history about to boil over. So
Yeah.
That's the most wild part of that whole deal is that it was him winning the title, all of this other sort of upheaval or change happening in the sport, you know, in that same time is like a weird, like it's kind of in the moment, you don't maybe realize that it's as impactful or as momentous as it is. But like to think back on it now is it's nuts.
It's inarguably one of the most important races in all of NASCAR's history, and probably the most important one in all of our lifetimes, I would say.
Yeah.
Oh, without question. I'd argue it's way more important than the 79 500.
Yeah, I mean, that's debatable, I would say. But, I mean, it's a good debate to have, I think. I think they both played very different roles.
There's a very good – again, Fox did a very good documentary on this called The Day. Well, I guess that's a series of documentaries or television documentaries under that. But there's one about this particular race that's pretty good that I recommend checking out as well. Maybe that'll be a video of the day or of the week one of these days. So.
Yes. In saying that, let me segue into saying I don't have a video of the week ready. I had a couple things on deck, but my day got screwed up because I ended up talking about monster trucks on another show.
Dude, I'm so excited you got to do this.
So let me explain.
I didn't realize who it was.
Oh, yeah. So I'll explain this real quick. I am a huge, huge fan of a group of guys called the Found Footage Festival. They've been touring the country for years, and they have a YouTube channel where they do a show called VCR Party Live every Tuesday and a show called Saturday Morning Cartoons every Saturday. And it's, you know, it's old broadcast footage. It's old home movies. It's old weird VHS tapes. It's the type of weird shit that, like, if, you know, you can gather that I'm into if you listen to me talk about how much I love old commercials and old broadcasts and stuff. Like, this is the type of stuff I love. And
weren't they the guys who were responsible for, like, the Winnebago Man documentary?
They're part of that, yeah. Yes, yeah. Yes, they are part of that, and they got Jack Rebney to one of their shows. But so long story short, last year on VCR Party, there were a bunch of times where one of the hosts, Nick, showed a bunch of monster truck clips and any, like, you know, weird music videos and all sorts of random shit. And he even actually ended up going to the Monster Truck Hall of Fame in Indiana when he was on tour. So when I saw them in Cleveland in December, I introduced myself and I was like, hey, listen, you guys got to do this cartoon for the show and you got to have me on. And this is before the podcast is even a thing, but I was wearing a Monster Truck shirt. I gave them all my info and they're like, yeah, fuck, let's do it. Email us. So I did and never heard back from them. I'm watching the show last night and they announced they were doing Bigfoot. And I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. So I just resent that email and I was like, hey guys, I don't know if you saw this email, but check it out if you didn't. And then, like, within an hour I got an email back, oh, you got to do the show. So yeah, I ended up doing the show, and it turned out pretty good. My internet was being a little bit weird, but yeah, they picked my brain and got a lot of their questions about monster trucks answered. So that'll be on Saturday. I think it premieres at 10 o'clock Eastern on YouTube, so
Sure
I'll post a link to that somewhere. So in saying that, I'm definitely gonna be, we haven't talked about this yet. I'm sure this is more of an off-air thing, but I have a feeling next week will probably be our last regular episode until next year. I mean, we're going to do sporadic ones, but as far as weekly ones, I feel like next week will probably be the last regular weekly one for a minute.
I think you're right about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll go off with one more round of... Yeah, we'll go off with one more round of Monster Truck Racing history, and I'll have a video posted to the playlist in the next day, I want to say, so give me time to pick out a good one, and that'll be next week's video.
Hell yeah. Or, if you want some more time to put that together for the offseason, maybe we should just watch the 92 the Hooters 500.
Yeah, I mean, and plus next week we're going to be talking about Rob's trip to the Dirt Finals and Andy.
Oh, yeah, I'm not watching the 92 500 though on fucking championship weekend with all the other racing going on.
That's a lot of
racing. But, and that's a pretty historic. That's almost its own episode. Yeah, we could do that during the off season. Let's just analyze this and talk about all.
I think that's a good idea because again, in this world where we talk about the championship being what it is and how it's not fair or equitable or whatever, like. This is an example of a traditional points battle coming down to the bitter end. And again, it's about as good as it gets. And again, it's a pivotal moment in history. So
if you guys out there haven't watched it, go watch it. We'll talk about it on the show at some point, but just go watch it for yourself because it's worth checking out.
Yeah. But yeah, like Brian said, I'll be at the World Finals in Charlotte on fucking Friday night, baby. I'm very excited and a little terrified to hang out with Andy in the cold, but it's going to happen.
Well, Andy will be in professional mode this weekend.
He will.
Probably.
Oh, he said, pretty sure, didn't he, one of you say that
he said we'll
once
go
he's off the clock?
Once I'm off the clock, we'll go wide open as a direct quote.
Oh, no.
So he's going to be playing catch-up. I'm going to be drinking to stay warm because it's supposed to be about 35 degrees every night.
Yeah.
They moved the whole show up every day to start time about 3 o'clock because it's going to get really cold at night. So I'm curious to see what that does for the racing. Oh. But, yeah, this for me, World Finals have already started. Qualifying happened a little earlier today. We're recording on a Wednesday here, so that was this afternoon. And the first round of racing is starting tonight, if you're listening to this on release day, and it goes through the weekend. It's going to be a great show. Big block modifieds, super late models, and, of course, the World of Outlaw 410s. And I'll be there all weekend, so come say hi.
Yeah, I'll have it on. After hearing that weather report, I'm a little less bummed I'm not going to be there. Jesus
Christ. That's just Yankee modified weather, bud. We freeze our asses off all the time up here. Mike knows.
Listen, you act like I'm not from New York. That doesn't mean I want to stand outside in the fucking cold. Jesus.
Brian, where in New York are you from?
I'm from Albany.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
You said upstate earlier, and I didn't know if that was...
I'm from the real upstate, motherfucker.
No, you
like
are.
There are
that's
people that say Westchester's upstate. No,
no
I'm
no,
from
no.
actually upstate. Fuck out of here.
Oh, you New Yorkers. Territorial disputes.
Oh man, you got to make sure that when somebody drops an upstate that it's upstate and not a
Well, I'm glad you asked that rather than most people that when they just hear New York you think New York City and it's like motherfucker the state is massive. There's
oh
so much
God.
More
very
than
big,
New York,
yeah.
So.
It's very big.
Yeah. So yeah, that's our weekends, I guess. Mike, are you going to be doing anything? Because Ashley and I will just be watching.
You coming to World Finals or what, buddy? Come
no,
on.
Sir. I'm going to run a 5K on Saturday morning because I kind of hate myself. It's whatever. I'll run in the morning, be done, and then racing Saturday night, racing Sunday, Formula One and NASCAR on Sunday would be a good time, I guess, but. Yeah, it's no hot
one
dogs.
One of those things will be good.
Yeah, right.
Well, running does make you feel good. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. No, it's I've turned into this like obsessive. I'm trying to run. I don't know. Just as like a competition with myself to try to run these races and whatever. But
man, that is a trend that I'm noticing in my certain friend groups. Like I've had a bunch of friends start doing marathons and shit the last couple of years and. No, that won't happen,
yeah,
man.
My wife did that for a little while.
I don't see that in my future. I just want to be like running 3 miles in the morning and then coming home and drinking a bunch of Coors on my couch.
Erasing all the good you just did.
Exactly.
You know,
it's all about balance.
They had a 5K at the RCR College Fan Day. Could have came down and ran around the parking lot.
Oh, that would have. Oh man, that's. Mm-hmm. Not
doesn't,
for me.
Doesn't sound good,
next
huh?
Time. Next year.
Get pop out there and I'll do it.
Well, hell, thank you so much for coming on the show, it's Mike. Like it's
oh yeah, thanks for having me. This was awesome.
Been a blast chatting with you. I'm sure we'll do it again at some time.
Awesome.
You got anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
Yeah, this podcast Meet Me at Applebee's, it's a trio of this ragtag NASCAR bunch.
Fucking idiots.
Go see these Wild Plains if they're touring in a neighborhood near you.
Oh yeah, that's good too.
Go buy some shirts from Snake Mountain Goods and Speedway Screens whenever mm-hmm. you can find them.
Yeah.
That's about all I got.
Hell yeah, doing all our plugs for us. I
got
this.
You.
Great.
Ash is very excited. She is. Yep. That's it. No plugs needed. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess that really says it all, folks. Who needs to give any other plugs? We'll be back on, I don't know what day we're going to be on because we didn't talk about this either. I got surgery Tuesday, so I can't record Tuesday. So we either got to record Monday or like Wednesday.
Well,
so we'll figure that out.
Monday ain't happening, so we'll figure it out. We'll have our big season-ending meltdown. Maybe we'll get Andy on there Maybe we'll get some other folks. We'll make it a big deal. We'll have a good time, and we'll talk about all the racing coming to a close, because that's pretty much it, unless you're a super late model fan, and then they pretty much race all the time. So,
yeah. All right, folks. Thanks for joining us once again at Applebee's, and we will talk to y'all next week.